Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll read the Lord's Word. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning. We praise You and thank You for Your presence here this day. Lord, I come here this morning knowing that I don't even need to preach one word to know that You have spoken to the hearts of the people here this morning. And I praise You and thank You for that. But now, Lord, as we open the Word and as we look at it, we ask that You would continue this outflow and overpouring of Your Holy Spirit this morning. That You would lead us to a greater understanding of this passage than many of us have ever had before. And Father, we pray that You would speak to our hearts in such a manner that it impact the actions of our life. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, we'll be looking at the first 21 verses of the third chapter. Again, Gospel of John, chapter 3. We haven't done it for a while, so I'm going to make you do it. Let's stand up when we read the Scripture this morning. Now there was a Pharisee, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know You are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs You are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born again when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Amen. You may be seated. Being born again. Boy, there's a hot topic, isn't it? Anybody ever had somebody ask them that question? Have you been born again? Are you born again? Ever had an argument with somebody over what it means? Well, hopefully I'm going to give some resolution on that topic. There is no revolution. All I'm going to do is talk about what's been revealed in God's Word here. Okay. But before we get into what it is to be born again, I want to look a little bit at Nicodemus, who he is. Who is this guy Nicodemus? Well, first off, he's probably somewhere in his 50s or 60s. He's an elder statesman in their ruling council, a member of the Pharisees, which is a religious segment, who is a little bit more conservative in their theology. And he was considered a teacher to Israel. He was not somebody who was just a teacher to one small community, but a well-known, well-respected Pharisee among Pharisees, teacher to the people of all of Israel. That is Nicodemus. Yet this man, who was a member of the ruling party, slips away in the middle of the night to go speak to this young man of around 30 years of age and speak to him and say, You have something I don't have. You know something that I don't know. Tell me about it. That's who Nicodemus is. That's kind of interesting when we see in the beginning Nicodemus slipping away in the dark to go see Jesus. And in the end of the passage that I read, we have this discussion about light and dark. That those who think that they're doing evil sneak around the dark so that it would not be exposed in the light. And to some extent, that's kind of what Nicodemus is doing. Why is he going in the dark? Well, he says, you know, we know that you are from our Father in heaven. We know that because you couldn't do what you're doing unless God was truly with you. But yet, he doesn't want the populace at large, possibly, but even more probably, to my thinking, looking at this, he doesn't want the others in his peer group, that is, those who sit in the Sanhedrin, to know what he's doing. Because they might not approve. Because, again, they've already not been approving of what Jesus is doing because it's been non-standard. He's definitely your non-standard preacher. Your non-standard teacher. He was not following the traditions of the temple at that time. But yet, here we have him slipping away. But yet later we find that Nicodemus kind of comes out into the light. He doesn't do it right away. But we do see that he does make that step in the very end where it is Nicodemus who goes and claims Jesus' body and puts him into his grave so that he can have a good burial. Not even understanding or believing that he would be resurrected on the third day, even though he did sit under the teaching of Jesus. So that's Nicodemus, a man who is well versed in Scripture. You know what he did for his daily task was to study the Word of God. Now, not everybody had their own personal copy of the Scriptures, but Nicodemus quite possibly did. That's the type of person that he did. He would have been above average, and he would have learned them. And prior to getting his own copy, he would have had to have memorized major portions of it, if not the entire thing. He would have studied it on a daily basis, would have known the Scriptures backwards and forwards. You know, they didn't have this numbering system that we have, turn to verse 55, or chapter 55, verse 3, or anything like that. They just had it rolled up on a scroll and had to remember the whole thing. Well, that's Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus. And he comes before him. And he makes this statement. He said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to me like a response coming out of left field. That isn't what Nicodemus was talking about. Yet Jesus responds by saying, "Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God." Well, I was just saying that you were from God. I didn't ask how you... Well, Nicodemus is kind of taking the usual teacher approach or religious leader approach of going the long way around the mountain like I normally do with my sermons. You go long way around the mountain. Come on, that was worth at least a smile. Okay, you go... What Jesus did, he cut straight to the chase. He said, if you want to come, go to heaven, you need to be born again. That's the real question in your mind, Nicodemus. That's what you're asking. That's where your need point is. You find that in every time where Jesus deals with somebody, he deals with their need, where they are truly at. He cuts the chase pretty quick with the woman at the well and a few other individuals throughout. And what we see here is Jesus cutting to the chase and saying, you want to know how to get to heaven? Simple, be born again. Nicodemus' response is, that is not a simple task. What you're asking is extremely difficult. Now, he's not reacting sarcastically when he says, what, I'm supposed to crawl into my mother's womb to be born again? No. What he's doing, again, remember, they use expressions like taking a camel through the eye of a needle, Jesus used for how difficult it is to get into heaven. It is easier for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for, or it is harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is to take a camel through the eye of a needle. Well, he's explained how difficult it is. He said, you have to be born again. Now here we have that statement, to be born again. What is it? And Nicodemus is saying, well, what is this? What is it you are saying? I don't understand. Well, birth, Jesus explains, comes in two forms. We have the physical birth. We were born of the flesh when we were born of our mothers here on this earth. And then we have the spiritual birth, where we are born of the Holy Spirit. And he sits down and he explains that you have to have the water of repentance. The water that washes clean, where you turn from sin. That's the water. In the fleshly birth, we have the water of the amniotic fluid, which must be broken, which must come out before the baby can. It has to happen. You don't get a baby otherwise. That water must come out. Well, the water must come of repentance. We must be washed by that water, and we must come through that water in order to be born of the Spirit. But you know what? Then we come to this passage, which has been the most difficult passage for me, this verse in here that's been the most difficult one in this passage. Verse 8. I don't know about you, but I looked at this passage, and I looked at this passage, and quite frankly, I wasn't getting it. I'm saying, Lord, you've got to give me some understanding here. I'm supposed to preach on this. And I don't know what it's talking about. In that situation, go to God. Say, God, illuminate the Scripture for me. Show me. Give me understanding. Well, he did. Let me read verse 8. It says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And I kept reading that, and I read it, and I read it. I read it 50 times. I'm going, I got a headache. I was getting panicky. And then I just relaxed. I gave it up, and I said, okay, Lord, you tell me what it is. And there it was. Is just as we can't see where the wind is going, where it's coming from, we don't see or know who's going to receive the Holy Spirit and be born again. We don't know who that is. We can see the evidence of its passage just as we can see the evidence of the wind's passage. We know that it was here. We felt its breeze. We saw the tree sway. We have that evidence of its passage. And when the Holy Spirit comes in somebody's life, there's evidence that that occurred. But we don't know who it is just by looking at people. I cannot look at you and tell whether or not, just by looking at you, whether you have received the Holy Spirit or whether you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. We don't know. That's up to the Holy Spirit. So what we see, what we have here is we have two parts. We have one part where we have to repent. We have to turn away from our sin and turn towards Christ for to be born again. And then we have this second aspect of it where the Holy Spirit has to come and midwife this birth. You're born of Spirit. It is Spirit that gives birth to Spirit. I cannot cause myself to be born of the Spirit. Why? Because I am flesh. Yes, I do have Spirit, but it requires the Holy Spirit to midwife that birth, to give me a renewed spirit. A new spirit, make me a new creation in Christ. That is being born again. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are born again. Somebody asks you, are you born again? Say, I have received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am born again. It has nothing to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Where those who say, I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, entirely different context, highly different thing. The Holy Spirit does come and reside within you. The filling thing, another topic, another time, we'll discuss it then. I want you to understand, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have repented from your sins, and you said, Jesus, come into my life, you've done that because the Holy Spirit has brought your heart to the point to do so. And then you do it. And you are born again. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you to the point. And then we just release. Now there's three or four things here that we can take away from this. There's a lot more here, but there's four things I want you to take away at this point. First, you must be born again to get into heaven. This is what this text says. No exceptions. No clauses for certain other groups. It says, you must be born again to get into heaven. It's that simple. And it says it a couple different times, a couple different ways. We cannot take this wrongly. Misconstrue what is being said. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have not been born again. You are not going to heaven. If you have, you are. It's that simple. It's that important. Now, how are you born again? Well, first, we said you must believe on Jesus Christ. We've been told that the way to get in is to believe on Jesus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now it's interesting, the same word for lifted up is the same one for hung upon or crucified. Basically the same. He must be put up on that pole, on that tree, on that cross. We have to look to Him for our salvation. Thirdly, it's the Holy Spirit that decides which heart is ready to receive Christ. I don't decide, you know what? I think you're ready to receive God, to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, I might see evidences of the Holy Spirit moving, as I can see evidences of the wind. But that's the best I can do. I don't know who. Nobody can tell you who, except God. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes and chooses the time and place and the heart. It's our job, as Christians, to make sure that the proclamation is made. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict that heart. Fourthly, What we see here is that Jesus is the very Son of God, and so is the source of our salvation. That He is indeed God. He comes from heaven. He speaks in the royal we see this in verse 11. He's talking about, we have told you this. We, who's He talking about? He's talking about Himself, His Father, through the prophets. We see this idea of being born again, of being born of the water and Spirit, isn't a new concept. This is talked about in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 and 28 through 28. It talks about that they first need to be washed with the water, and then I will come and I will place my Holy Spirit within you. I will place my Holy Spirit within you, is what God tells us. We don't do it. We just receive it. Being born again is plain and simply receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, we've put an end to the bait. Probably not. But hopefully I've put your minds to a new, different level of understanding that being born again is absolutely necessary to get to heaven. And there is only one way. And that is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if we do not look upon Him, we cannot receive our salvation. Now, God is not an angry God who is looking for ways to keep people from getting into heaven, or doesn't want people to come to heaven, doesn't want people to be redeemed. In fact, it is His desire that all people should come. But we do have that aspect which is our responsibility, that repentance, that turning away from sin, that desire not to be a sinner. Okay? It doesn't mean that we stop forever sinning and that we never sin again, because our physical strength, our flesh isn't strong enough to resist all temptation like that. But that our heart's desire is to leave the sin behind and to turn to the cross. To look up at the cross and see our Christ super crucified right there. And then receive that gift of salvation. That is being born again. Because in that moment, we are made new creatures. And our spirit is reborn. Or more appropriately, is born. Our eternal spirit, which will reside in heaven, is at that point born. That's what it tells us. Because it takes the spirit to give birth to spirit. We're going to celebrate communion. Celebrate is the correct word. Because it is a celebration of the work that Jesus did on the cross and the fact that we are born again, that we have been washed clean by this blood that He shed on the cross, that He shed as He was whipped for our transgressions, as He was abused for no sin that He committed, but for ours. That through that sacrifice, we're washed clean. John preached, John the Baptist, about repentance. That is how we prepare the way the Lord into our hearts. And then it's just up to the Holy Spirit. And when we invite Him in,
comes running. He comes running. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward. Again, our communion table is open. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are born again, please take communion with us. If you have not, this is the perfect time to be born again. If you have not been born again, if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the perfect time. I would encourage you to do so. Please, if you need ministry in any way, I would ask you to come forward after communion and just come to the front row. And the elders, the deacons, the deaconesses, and myself, we will pray with you. If you receive Christ, come forward. If you need prayer, come forward. If you would like prayer for a family member or friend, let's come forward and let's pray for them right here. We want you to be ministered to.